you're good.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Some of you heard most of this talk before, but you know, you just have to sit through it if you did, and we'll just go on. Pastor Jeff has been talking to us about navigating uncertainty. And they asked me to come kind of sum it up with my testimony this morning, and I think Chuck was in on getting that done. But I've got 77 years to cram into, they give me 20 minutes. I told them I'd take 40, so that's 60 minutes, so I hope you got a long lunch today. I've done my devotions this morning, and part of that jumped out at me. It says, a full life is not absent of trials, but rather a full life comes from the promised presence of God.
Amen.
So with that, as you hear my testimony this morning, you might want to keep that in mind. God led me to Job chapter 1, verses 6 through 12 to kind of summarize my testimony a little bit this morning. Now there was a day when the sons of God come to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also come among them. The Lord said to Satan, from whence have you come? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth and from walking up and down on it. And the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, who fears God and turns away from evil? And then Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for no reason? Have you not put a hedge around him and his house and all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands and his possessions and have increased in the land. But stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will curse you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has in your hand, only against him do not stretch out your hand. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. May God have blessed the reading of this, his word. I was raised in a Christian home. Every time the church doors were open, we were there. Mom said she carried me in the second day after I was born, and so I guess I've been in and out of church all my life. And so as things went along, and you know how it gets when you get to be a teenager, and I got out of high school and I got married, and I decided I knew more than anybody else and I wanted to go see how everybody else lived. And so I went and done that for a while. And my wife and I have been married for a while, and we had our little girl. She was the apple of my eye. I loved her more than I ever thought was possible to love anybody. I come home one morning after work. I work in midnights, and I come home, and she was 5 months old. And I went in to change her diaper, as the routine was, and I pulled her nightie up and went to change her diaper. There was a knot the size of my fist under her rib cage. It wasn't there the night before. What's this? You know, it kind of startles you. So we started trying to get her into doctors, and one doctor would send us to a different doctor, and one doctor said, well, you're feeding her eggs, and she's 5 months old, you shouldn't be doing that, and we weren't. She was on formula. Well, long story short, she turned out to be cancer. So I began to pray hard for God to heal her. And I made a promise that day. I said, Lord, if you'll heal her, I'll serve you for the rest of my life.
Praise God.
Well, she passed away. Broke my heart. But God began to use that situation in my heart and my life to bring me back to Him. I began to realize that He'd give her the perfect healing, because she wasn't going to have to suffer. They had given her a cobalt treatment down in Indy. They cut her halfway in true and found the cancer, and they sewed her back up, and they told me that her left side would never grow normal if she lived. So, you know, God had His reasons. We don't always understand. We went on to have three more beautiful little girls, and God began to nudge me as I was working in a church, and I was a deacon in the church. I was working in the church, and God said, you need to go to school. You need to get into the ministry. And I thought I was going to go to mission. So we left and sold our home, sold everything we had, and quit my job at Chrysler, and we went to Wisconsin to New Tribes Bible Institute. And things went along, you know. I began to learn what I was supposed to learn and those things, and was really quite an opportunity in my life. My senior year, just before graduation, my oldest daughter began to get very ill every morning. And she'd run down to the, because we didn't have restrooms or bathrooms in her apartment, and she'd run down the hall, and she'd get sick and throw up and come back. And so we took her to the doctor in Wisconsin, and he said, you better get her to Indianapolis to get back home and find out what's going on, and because we were right at graduation. So we found out she had a brain tumor in the back of her head, and it was back in this part of her head. So a lot of tests, a lot of things going on, a lot of trying to decide what to do. I graduated from New Tribes in a hospital room in Indianapolis with my daughter, and they decided that they had to do radiation to shrink the tumor down before they could do surgery. Well, thankfully it wasn't cancer. So things went along. We came home, and God began to work in my heart, and I took my first pastorate, took over at Antioch Christian Church over by Swayze, and was over there for 9 years, and began to work there. And she got along, but when she turned 16, the tumor began to come back. Then more testing. More times of trials, back to Indianapolis for more surgery. And things went along well. She got through that surgery, and things went well. And, you know, she got some schooling. She got graduated high school. She got some classes at Ivy Tech. She got married, had a son, and got called me through all that to change churches. Great time to change ministry. God's kind of used trials in my life to move me from one place to another. Well, He moved me to a brethren church over by Windfall. And I was invited to attend Brethren Way of Christ while I was there. Weekend 10, boy, that seemed like it's been forever ago. I really needed this for everything that was going on in my life. My wife couldn't go till the next fall because of things going on, and so well, you know, it's hard if you've been through the banquet or Brother Way or whatever to keep your mouth shut and not tell your spouse what goes on. And so she finally got to go, and it was good for her too. My youngest daughter was asked to go through the Kokomo Great Banquet weekend number 4. What number are they on now, Chuck? Anybody know?
145.
So that's been a day or two ago. And so wife and I went up to the Saturday night pray out, you know, the pray in and all that stuff, and shaking hands and all that good stuff. And so I met Dr. Phil Pate, and he said, "Who are you and why are you here?" And so long story short, they asked me to come help with the banquet, and so I began working at the Kokomo Great Banquet on weekend 5. Served as head spiritual community director there for several years, while right after Jim Jacobs fell ill and couldn't handle it. And so I was there for a few years. I think we counted up once I'd done 45 weekends. So, of course, that's men and women's both, because I was privileged to get help with the women's banquets too. So once again, God called me to change churches. And I went to UDC as pastor, and I served there until 2017. In December of that year, I retired from full-time ministry. 2011, my second daughter became ill and was diagnosed with lung cancer. She had to have part of her lung taken out, and she was allergic to the chemo they tried to give her. And in 2012, they put her in hospice care and said, "Go home and get everything ready." She lived in Bloomington. She had 2 young children. So my wife and I alternated going down and helping take care of them. And we were down there one weekend, and I got a call from my oldest daughter's little 7-year-old boy. She was divorced, and they were living in an apartment in Galveston. And he said, "Grandpa, Mom's on the floor, and I can't get her up." "Well, I'm in Bloomington. He's in Galveston." So I called my youngest daughter and I said, "Can you go check on him? Can you go see what's happening?" Well, long story short, she had had an aneurysm that had come back from all the surgeries and the tumors and everything, and it burst. And she was dead when she hit the floor. 38 days later, I went back to Bloomington and buried my second daughter. We've lost 3 of our 4 daughters. But you know, God has given me a ministry because I know how people feel. I know the tragedies that they go through. I know it hurts. I know there's some here in this room that are going through some trials in their lives. John 10:10 tells us, "A thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Christ says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." This is Jesus' promise to us. God's not my servant, but my life is about God and His purpose. God gives us our time here to build and strengthen our character. Trials is a great way to build our character. Get us to go where He wants us to go. Get us to move. Get us to grow. I'm now retired from full-time. thought maybe I'd get to enjoy life a little bit. I'm raising my oldest daughter's son. He's now, the one that was 7, he's now 19. Be 20 in September. He's 6'7". Wears a 1640 shoe. You don't go to the store and buy them, by the way. And they aren't cheap. But last spring, I went into the doctor. And she says, you need a CAT scan. We haven't had one of your chest cavity for a while. And so I said, okay. And so I went and had a CAT scan. And a few weeks later, I got back to the doctor. And she comes in the room and she sits down, my wife and I, real quiet. Dr. Marley's not quiet usually. And she says, Joe, I don't know how to tell you this, but you're going to go see this doctor, this doctor, this doctor, this doctor. You're going to have more CAT scans. You're going to have MRIs. You're going to have a whole list of stuff. And I said, well, okay, why? She says, well, you're full of cancer. It's pretty bad when your doctor starts to leave the room and she's crying. And she backs up and comes in and sits down and she says, I gotta pray with you. I went to church that Sunday. I mentioned it to a couple of people there at church and they called me up in front. They laid hands on me in the church and prayed for me for healing. I went through all those tests, went through all the specialists, went through all that stuff, went in to see the cancer doctor. She says, why are you here? And I said, well, didn't you see the CAT scan? And she says, well, I've seen all of them and I don't see anything. I just went back for another CAT scan and she turned me loose. She says, there's no need to come back. God's good. Even in the midst of trials, in the midst of all that we go through, in the midst of losing, the good thing is I know where my three daughters are. I know that I'll get to see them again one of these days. So when trials come into your life, they're there for a reason. You need to pray for wisdom to find out what the reason is. And as I thought about that and come back to Job, I used to have a lot of problems with Job and God turning Satan onto him and say, sick him. You know, that always bothered me just a little bit. But after living my life, I find out that I think sometimes God done that to me. I think God is, you know, I found out a long time ago that the closer you move to God, the more Satan's going to attack you. And God allows things to come into our lives. He doesn't make them happen, but he allows them to come in to move us closer to him. And Job, in chapter 42 and verse 5, Job says this, and it's the whole reason for the book of Job. He said, I heard of you by the hearing of your ear. And if you stop and think of that, what its meaning is that Job was following God, and God says he's the most holy man on earth. And he says, I was following you because I was told to. I followed. follow you because that's what I was supposed to do. But he says, now my eye sees you. After going through his trials, after losing his family, after losing his wealth, setting it in a dump, scraping his sores with ashes and pieces of pottery, he found God. Sometimes God lets us go through these things to make sure he's real in our lives. It's the way I feel in my life. One last verse for you today before I shut off so you can have a little time to talk. Ephesians 4:22 and 24 says, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, to be renewed in the spirit of your minds and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. We're to become more like Christ in our character. And sometimes I look at my life, I look at myself, and I'm thinking, am I more like Christ today than I was back in 1976? I look at my personality, and I'm thinking, boy, God, you messed up. But God wants to change our character. He wants to transform our character, not our personality. If you stop and think about all the disciples, they were fishermen, they were a doctor, they were a tax collector. When they wrote their books, they wrote by their personality through the Holy Spirit. You see doctor language, you see fisherman language in their writings. Our personality is ours. That's what makes us us. We're still to be who we are, but we're to be filled with His holiness, to serve Him by the leading of the Holy Spirit. Gentlemen, I don't know if I said anything today that helps you. I hope so. To understand that tragedy comes to all of us. Trials come to all of us. That's called life. Our choices that we make with it are the most important things that you can do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just pray this morning, Lord, that you touch the hearts of these men. Lord, that you speak to them. Take me out of the picture, and Lord, let you stand up that you're the one that got me through all those things. You're the one that strengthened me. You're the one that helped me. You're the one that guided my wife and I as we go through these trials. And Lord, I just thank you for the opportunity to share once again today. Now in thy holy name we pray. Amen.
And the life. And that's what this weekend is all about. Amen?
Amen.
God is, He's healed this man. And I just want to pray a prayer of praise and of supplication. Praise for him and what God has done, because God is a sovereign God.
That's my God.
God can heal people, and he can choose not to heal people. He suffered through three daughters, where God chose not to do the physical healing. And so the more we pray, the more we seek God, the more we believe that Christ is the resurrection and the life, then the more we have the will to surrender to God's will.
That's it.
That's our prayer for you this weekend. That's our praise for what God's done in your life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for Pastor Joe. God, you know what he means to me personally. Father God, how he has been a mentor and a leader and a spiritual father to me. And I thank you for that, God. You are the resurrection and the life, Jesus. And I thank you, God, that no matter what happens in our circumstances and in our life or how we feel, it does not change the truth that you are our one true hope. So, Father, as we go into this weekend, I pray in the name of Jesus that we will experience the power and the grace and love of the Almighty God that you offer, that only comes from you, that people that walk into a church will see that they are noticed and that they matter and that they're cared about and that they're loved. Help each one of us in this room to demonstrate that, God, to the people around us. Thank you for what you've done in Pastor Joe's life and in his family, that his eyes have not strayed from you. God, that he trusted you. He trusts your will. I thank you for that. I look forward to how you're going to continue to use him and what you're going to do. God, the testimonies are going to come through the mouths and the lives and the stories of those of us in this room that get to experience the hope of an empty tomb this weekend. So thank you, Lord Jesus. We praise you and thank you in the power of Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thanks, guys. Talk to us at the table. And then go worship Jesus and take someone with you.
Thank you, sweet Jesus.
I think it's normal as we go through that.